Good evening, guys. My name is Christoph, and I was on the NAM Youth Missions this July. I'm just going to testify to you guys about God is real. At first of all, it may sound quite stupid, but I think we're all in this stage, like somewhere in your lives, you have doubts. And for my whole life, I had doubts up until before the mission. And we had meeting missions before the mission, and I got to know the team, and everyone there in my team was so passionate about the Lord. They were all speaking about the good work that He does for them, and I just didn't know what they were talking about. Me and my friends, we couldn't relate to that. So then before the mission, I just prayed and asked the Lord, okay, Lord, everyone around me has got a great passion for You and speak about the great work You do. So can You please show me? Because I don't know if He's like really real. I knew He's there, but I wanted to see miracles and see that He's real. And He responded. The second day of the missions, we held an event in Rehoboth. And then, for like minutes before the event, I went to the street and me and my friends, we got this guy on the street. He was drunk or high. I'm not really sure. But we got him into church and we just stood there praying for him at the back. And he kept moaning about his shoulders that are sore. So we laid hands on him and we prayed for him. And I really hoped, I believed fully in God. I had full faith that He would heal this guy. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And eventually the guy looked up to us and he smiled. And we felt, and he said his shoulders was much better. And like right there at that moment, I almost like fainted or something because I couldn't believe it. And then from that moment on, I knew God is real. And then a second healing also took place, just to confirm even more to me that God is real. It was in Windhoek. We stayed at the backpackers, and at the same backpackers, there was a rugby team from Piketberg. And I don't think they really knew the Lord, so they weren't really interested in us until one night. We just like started chatting to them. A few of our guys spoke to them about rugby and stuff. And then all of a sudden, there's one guy in our team, he received a word of knowledge, and he could tell exactly the one guy what his relationship with his mother is. And that guy's mouth hang open. He couldn't believe what was happening. And immediately they were interested in us. So the following night, we chatted to them, some of the guys in the team, and they invited us to their room. And a few of our guys sat in their room and just spoke to them. Later on, 15 guys got saved. And yeah. But what was even more awesome, this one guy, he injured his neck that day. They played a rugby game, and his coach told him he couldn't play for the rest of the year, and he was wearing a brace and everything. And after he got saved, he, half hesitant, he came and asked one of our guys, can you please pray for my neck? Like, half unsure what's going to happen. So he went and he prayed for him, and after he prayed, then the guy said, wow, my neck feels really warm. And then Daniel told him, okay, take off your brace. And he took it off, and Daniel said, move your neck. And he was like half hesitant. He turned his neck and waiting for the pain to come or whatever. And it never came. His neck was healed. And yeah, that was very awesome. But that is only two of many testimonies that I could share with you guys. Because if you guys want to know more, any of our teammates will be more than excited to share with you guys. I can stand here for hours speaking about the mission. Because God is awesome. And so then I just challenge you guys, because we all have doubts sometimes, and if you ever doubt, just ask the Lord, because He will respond. Okay, thank you.
Hi everyone, my name is Yolandi. Just thanks Christoph from Paul Riss, that was really cool. I was on the Let's Go Ireland/Scotland mission, which if you look at the map, it's the highest mission. So it's just it's just a joke. So we went there. I was never ever been overseas, so I don't really know how to prepare for this because it's not Africa, so it's different and you don't know what to do. So I told the Lord, I know that He once sent out people with specific guidelines as to what they must pack, what they must not pack, what they need. So I said, Lord, give me some specifics, like what must I pack? What do you want? So he said I must buy 5 of the new Shofar Band CDs. So I thought, okay, cool. So I bought them and I said, okay, Lord, what's your plan? Do you want to tell me now we're going to give it to, or what are we looking for? And then he said, no, he's going to show me when I'm there, but one will be specifically for someone in a coffee shop or in like a coffee cafe type of thing, because they need to play it in their cafe. So I was like, oh my word, I need to gonna go shopping in a coffee shop or something. This is gonna be great. So then we went to Dublin for a week. The Lord showed me to give some of the CDs too, but it wasn't a coffee shop. And then we went to Scotland, gave some CDs there, and then Belfast was a last stop, and I realized I only have one CD left, and this one must be for that coffee shop that the Lord spoke about. So I realized if this doesn't happen, the CD is coming back with me, or I don't know. But so then we went to Belfast on the Wednesday, and then that Thursday night, I was already, like, it was 9 o'clock, but the sun only sets at like 11, so the sun almost never sets, and then it comes up at 4 a.m., so the whole time it just feels like sun every day, like it feels like 4 p.m. the whole time. So at 9 o'clock, like, the sun was still shining, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna go to bed now, because we've been really traveling a lot and I would like to get some sleep. But then as we in our pajamas on the bed, like, some of the team comes in the door and they're all excited and they're like, guys, we need to go out. We just walked past this place and there's like a advertisement board saying free hot drink, come inside, and we need to go get a free hot drink. But it's not even like it's winter. So I was like, oh man, free hot drink in Belfast, we probably shouldn't miss this. So we can actually just go down the kitchen where we stay and get a free hot drink there as well. But then we got dressed and we walked out. It was just like a minute's walk down the road. And when we got there, it was so cool. The place's name was the Church Cafe. So we were like, ooh, wow, this is interesting. So then they showed the Soccer World Cup game against the wall, and like this big wall. It's not a big place. So you sit like on the bench and like the players are like, yeah, like you feel like you got like this front seat in the stadium. So we went in there, like we filled their whole cafe with our team of seven, and they gave us free they gave us free hot drinks, a really nice cappuccino at 9 p.m., which I wanted to sleep early, but then that didn't happen. So then we watched the soccer game. I can't even remember who played. It wasn't really like a major team or something. But the soccer was cool, and the conversations was great. But then Nicola and Daniel were the two people that worked, that's in that church and that runs the cafe. So we chatted with them. They have like really cool testimonies, and we even got them on the video. And after the soccer game, we decided, no, but we want to pray for Daniel and Nicola so that they can be encouraged to carry on with what they're doing. And to, yeah, just ask the Lord for, like, maybe prophetic words or stuff we can encourage them with, because they've really been a blessing to us, you know. Free hot drink in Europe is really cool. So we started praying for them when everybody left. And as we prayed for them, the Lord reminded me, this is where you need to give the CD to. And I was like, oh, wow, this is so crazy. Like, it actually is happening. So after we prayed, I said, guys, I just quickly need to run back to my room, which is just up the road, because there's something I really need to give to you. And then Nicola got so excited that she's like, no, she's going to come with. And she nagged me all the way to my room. I thought I wanted to keep it a surprise. But then she's like, going, what is it? And then I said, well, it's a CD. And then she just stopped and she looked at me, and I was like, okay, I'm sure they have CDs in Europe. Like, and then she's like, their pastor has just told them in the week that they need to get new music for their cafe, because they've been listening to the same music for too long now, which is Christian music, but like, it's like they just need something fresh. And they just prayed last night for the Lord and asked him for new music. And like tonight we came there and we told them, we have something specific for you from the Lord that we need to give to you. And then I looked at it as if I've never seen a Europe person, because I was just like, whoa, I don't know, it's this specific. It was just great just being obedient to the Lord, and knowing that when he sends you to a place, he's not just sending you to go there and then just come there and be like, okay, what do we, but it's like really, like you can really partner with the Lord. It's really like a partnership of like, okay, Lord, what are we going to do there together? And just be amazed at how he's working there and what he's doing. So I just want to encourage you to just in the week, maybe ask the Lord for just one thing that he wants to tell you to do this week, or to be prepared, because missions is here as well. So to just be prepared to be like, okay, Lord, what is it one thing that I need to do this week, or that I need to take with, or need to pack, or not need to pack, or, and then just do it and just trust in the Lord. And He will show you when you meet that person or when you are at that place, and then just do it. You will, you will just fall in love with the Lord, like, mightily. So, yeah, we're just now going to watch. Yeah, we can clap for the Lord.
Hi, church. Let's give applause for that awesome video. Yeah, church, my name is Jock, and I was part of the team of 27 guys who went up into the mountains in northern India, a.k.a. the Nepal team. We never made it to Nepal, for those of you that didn't hear. The Lord actually took us on a much different road than we originally thought. And yeah, we just went up into the mountains, to the unreached tribes in the Himalayas, and we just bombarded them with the gospel and with the love of Jesus, you know, and it was just, what a privilege. And one of our main missions was to go up to the most northern part of India that you can by car, because there's a river in India called the Ganges River, and that's, according to the Hindus, it's a holy river, and they believe if you bathe in that river, then you are saved. So we went up to the most northern part where the source of that river is, and the most northern part that you can drive, that the town, the first town that this river reaches. It's where all the gurus and the monks and they all get together there and do weird stuff. So we drove a very long trip by flight, train, and a couple of taxis till there. And we got out there, and it was actually very weird, almost unnoticed. We just walked through these orange-clothed people. We just walked through them, we just walked past them, and we walked to the edge of the town where the river comes into the town. And we just stood there, and we just proclaimed who Jesus is, and we just proclaimed in that gorge, and in that, between those mountains, you know, that the only water that will ever satisfy is the water that Jesus gives. And we just took salt to me as a prophetic sign. We threw it into the river just to declare that the Lord will cleanse that river, because that river flows from the north to the almost the southeast of India. And we just proclaimed that, you know, the Lord will move as this river flows. He will just cleanse that river, and it will just flow through the whole of India. And it was such a privilege. We almost went unnoticed through there. And another testimony, from the beginning of our mission, when we got to the airport in Joburg, it was so awesome. We were 27 guys. We were a big group, and obviously logistics is very difficult. And as we got there to customs to go through the international, all the boarding stuff and stuff, a guy just came, and he just said, "No, come with me." And we just skipped the row, and we went through where all the pilots go through and all the flight attendants. We just went through straight to board. And then when we came back as well, we ran from one terminal to the other. And they said, another guy just came, and he just said, "Don't worry, the plane won't fly without you." And he just took us through it once again. And Pastor Sia's actually got in a dream. He saw that one of the guys that took us through was actually an angel, which was mind-blowing. And we just knew that the Lord's favor was on us, and was so awesome. And yeah, what I just wanted to say was a lot of things happened, and the Lord used us a lot and to do His work. But what I want to challenge the church with, and you guys with, is just to be willing and to be hungry enough to ask the Lord to, if you can be His hands and His feet. Because if you're willing and if you're hungry enough, the Lord will actually use you to do His works. And I can promise you, the Lord's works isn't ordinary. The Lord's works isn't average. His works are awesome. And He will use you to do great things for His kingdom and for His glory. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, church. My name is George. We went to the third. Yeah, we had the privilege to go on missions to the third most persecuted country in the world. It was just amazing just to testify that the first few days when we got there, we stayed in a hotel. And then from there, we went to contact a family that we stayed at. And we were praising and worshiping, and it was amazing. But we could just see that there was something not right. There was something bothering them in their spirit. And we went to go ask them one day, what is happening? We can see something's not nice. And they said, no, they are praying constantly about whether they should have church on Sunday or not. Now, what happened is last year when we went, their church was temporarily closed. Now, this year, it's officially closed and their pastor's out of the country. So, they don't have a church officially. And so, they were praying about whether they should have church and whether we should join. So, that was just amazing to pray whether they should have church or not was such a testimony. And we were blown away by that. So, a couple of days later, we got a huge series of events that confirmed that we should have church healings and reconnections with people that they hadn't seen in months, other Christians, etc. And then the most weird part came for us is that they had to pray about who had to come to church. Because it's a safety thing that they can't just invite everybody. So, they have to hear from the Lord who must come to church and who mustn't. Which just blew us away. And then 2 hours before, they let us know that we are presenting the service. So we were a bit nervous, but we prepared well in those 2 hours. And it was just like a worship service. And I started off, I was worshiping, and I played in the complete wrong key, sang completely falsely, and it just went horribly wrong. And I just kept my eyes closed, not wanting to look at their reaction. And when I opened my eyes, I saw the most amazing thing, that despite my faults and my mistakes, they were experiencing God's presence in those mistakes. People crying, people on their knees. And it just shocked us that it doesn't matter about the culture or the perfect worship, but it's about Jesus and His presence. And what stood out about that was just their obedience. And I really want to challenge us to not just go through life thinking that God is asking, just like, maybe do this, maybe he's our Lord, not only our Savior, He's our Lord, and we need to be obedient to Him. And I really want to encourage that if the persecuted church is standing out there and making a stand for their faith, we can do the same here in being obedient in our everyday life.
Okay, turn to your neighbor and say, wow, we serve an awesome God. it's a privilege to go to all these nations and especially to spread God's glory. But you know what? There's a hospital across the road there next to Simonsburg, and there's a hospital across the road there next to the Boert, and there's so many opportunities. Not one of us have got an excuse. We're going to just spend the next 5 minutes to pray for the church in Iraq. I don't know if you know what's going on, but there are lots of persecution, lots of things happening, and lots of our brothers and sisters, like George says, are fleeing many of these countries and fleeing for their lives. And so, while we have the openness to sit like this and worship God, if one part of the body suffers, every part suffers. That's what the Bible says. So we're going to pray for them. We've also, as the church, started a disaster management organization, an NGO, a couple of years ago, and we've been very involved in Somalia and in Japan and lots of places because we need to be hands and feet out there. So if you want to help, go to the Relief Life website or the Facebook page. Because we're directly connecting with some of our Anglican church brothers in there and lots of other organizations. So even if you just give a 50 Rand or something like that, to really pray about it, because we can't just sit and do nothing. But we start to pray, and then we'll also start to give. So we're going to just turn two by two to each other, because Jesus also said that my house shall be called the house of prayer for the nations, okay? So let's quickly pray for Iraq, and we're going to just spend 2 or 3 minutes doing that tonight. There was a guy from Pretoria that phoned me this morning, and he asked me, how can we pray for the persecuted church? What's the best thing to do to avoid persecution? And I said to him, well, if you look back at Scripture, Jerusalem was almost destroyed because of Christians, the Jews in Jerusalem, that didn't want to go and spread the gospel. So the best thing we can do is to just be obedient to what God has told us to do. And that is to go and make disciples of the nations. He said that in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. He said, I've given you all authority. All authority has been given to me. So therefore, go and make disciples and teach them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And I will be with you. Lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. I always thought like, and I shared a bit of this on the cam, but I always thought like, why would God say that? Because God is always with us. But he said, the one promise I give you, if you fulfill the Great Commission, I will always be with you. You will always be aware of my presence. You'll always know my protection. You'll always know my life. But he said, go. As you are going. As you are going. So not one of us as a Christian on this earth must think that we're supposed to stay. Because as you walk into your faculty, you are going for God. As you walk through the Nielsen, you are going for God. You are doing stuff every day. You're on a mission for God. And that's why Jesus said, you know, the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. In another scripture, you know, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 to 19, from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He said, follow me, because I will make you. In this process of following me, I'm going to do something. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And I want to challenge each one of us. We don't want anybody to come to church without a book and a pen and writing down the stuff and the sermons in future. Because you are not here to receive in church. You are here to reproduce. And too many times, in especially charismatic churches, what we teach people is we teach people to receive and bless me, Lord, help me, Lord, be with me, be with my exams. But there are not a lot of reproduction happening. So when you listen to a sermon or when you come to Bible school or when you come to Encounter, do you know what your expectation should be? Say, Lord, how do I apply this in my life and how do I reproduce it into other people's lives? Otherwise, it just becomes a nice sermon. And you know, you might as well download that sermon because there are much better preachers on YouTube today. But the one thing you're not going to get is the presence of God manifest and the relationships through which discipleship happens. You can't get that from a movie and you cannot get that from a YouTube sermon. But the people around you that you must impart that life to, that is so important. And many of them are not sitting here tonight. They're out there. You must go and reproduce what God has done in your life into their lives. Amen? Thank you for your enthusiasm. That's why our church purpose statement is to reach nations and generations through disciple-making, leadership development, and church planting. You see, we grow and we learn as we give. Jesus said it, and later it was written by Luke in Acts. He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Say, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The quickest way to grow is by giving it away. By whatever you've learned, just give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. Just give it away. And the more you give, the more you're going to receive. The world works the other way around. Receive, receive, receive. Receive and have and take and grab hold because it's a fear motivation. It's not a faith motivation. You based everything on fear. But Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And as we go, remember, it's all about people. It's about loving God and loving people. It's about loving God and loving people. It's about loving God and loving people. It's not a target. It's not a stuff that we're trying to do. It's really because we embrace the heart of God. And I remember as we were in India, and I'm standing up on the mountains, and it's like raining, and it's cold. And we're praying over these villages, and we're saying, God, let your kingdom come. You know, then we went off, and we would walk almost an hour down, come into the village, as we would just pray over the villages. And then we just take out a guitar and begin to sing, in die Himmel is die Heer, okay? Afrikaans. It didn't really matter what we sang, because it was just the presence of God. And then we'd start to pray for the sick. And then there was like, you can ask some of these guys, like 5 guys, and then in the end, it was like 40 and 50, and in the end, it almost grew to about 100 people. Even the chief elders of the city that would greet us at the gates when we came in, they would all come and they would stand and they'd say, wow, you know. They'd all come for prayer because, you know, people are desperate for the love of God. People are desperate for the love of God. But, you know, as a Christian, we cannot just go through life because, you know what, maybe you live in a security complex, but there's a security guard there that's staying there through the night to guard your life. Do you know what his name is? Do you know where he come from? Do you know whether he's got a family? As Christians, we don't have an excuse not to know the people around us. And, you know, there was a big theology school in Ireland. And these theology students did a 3-year course. And then they had to write their last big exam. And they, the guys who tutored them said, there's going to be one big question. One big question that's going to count around about 60% of your mark at the end of the year. It's going to be one big question, and it's going to be a very simple answer. And then they went in, and there was the first question was, what is the lady's husband's name or children's names that have been cleaning your dorm for the last 2 years? That was the qualification for ministry. Just name me the husband. There's a lady. It's good to know her name, but what's the husband or one of the children's names? Just write one of those names. That's been cleaning your dormitory for the last 2.5 years. Hello. Because we can become so many professional Christians. We can become so good at doing stuff that we forget the heart of Jesus. And that's just to love people, just to love them, just to love them. I want to ask you, everybody in the race, what's the name of the lady's husband that are cleaning your dormitory? No, don't put up your name, okay? But we need to be vulnerable before God. And then the last scripture, just before we're going to pray and send people. Jesus warned us in this time that we're living and also with his disciples. He said this, he said in Matthew 10, verse 16, behold, I send you as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless or innocent as doves. When you go into this harvest field, you need to have discernment. You need to be wise. But you also need to be very focused because God has got a strategy. And that's why it's so great to see that many of you are standing up as leaders. We're going to pray for them next week. I had got some names here. Christian from Mayuba, he's the prim at Mayuba. Anuska at Minerva, she's the prim at Minerva. Christian, other Christian at Fisser, he's the prim there. We saw Anikov is the honor prim at Jimstede, and Devet is the honor prim at Huisvisser, and Diamond is the prim at Elderberg, and Marlisa is the prim at Narina, and Anuska at Minerva. Did I say that? Yeah. So lots of people are stepping up to those positions and say, God, we want to be part of what you are doing. And I just want to challenge you, if you've not voted for the SRC, you go home tonight and you vote for those 5 candidates that's standing. If just we as Christians support them, what family does, do you know what? They'll be able to represent Jesus Christ on a top level to be able to speak into other people's lives. So you better vote, because next week at the service, we're going to ask everybody that has not voted to stand up. Okay? Because just that's what we do. Hello? Hello, that's a bit of pressure. But that's, you know, Jesus said, as you go, have discernment, get into the right positions and trust that you will open up and hearts will open up for you and for the gospel. But be innocent in your heart. Have that innocence towards me, but be wise. Be wise and pray about who you should reach out to. Pray about the people and pray for their hearts to be softened, because God is on a mission. God is moving, and he's inviting us to be part of the redemptive purpose of this town, and that is to reach the nations and to reach generations. And that's what's so great. If somebody from Paul Roos can stand up here and say, look here, God is real. Hey, Christopher, what's the gratis jy? Graad 10. He's in grade 10, okay? And look at that confidence. We say, yes, God, okay? Bring it on, Jesus. Amen. And there are lots of them sitting there at the back. We're checking all of you, okay? We're checking all of you. But that's what life is about, is to reach the next generation so that they can do it greater than what you have done it. So our challenge is, are you willing to go? Are you willing to be commissioned? But you know, the devil wants you to focus on yourself, to try and fix yourself all the time. So everybody in church must begin to pray about, who is God calling you to disciple and reach out to? You're going to trust God for three people. We started with that in the small groups, but just three people that you're going to reach out to. Start to disciple people. Just slowly by slowly, just lead them to Christ. Start by praying. Start by fasting. Start by thinking about, who have you got relationship with that may never come to church now, but eventually, through relationship, we're going to show the love of Christ to them. We cannot play church anymore. Amen? We cannot play church anymore. Amen? Amen? A woman? Yes. Okay, cool. Okay. So now we're going to come to the highlight of the service, because you know what the devil lies to us, and he lies to you and me and says, you can never be used. You're never good enough. You must just focus on your own problems all the time, and you must try to fix yourself. And then once you're ready and once you're perfect, then God is going to start to use you. I tell you, that's the biggest lie ever. Even Jesus' disciples right at the end ran away from him. And Jesus would still come to Peter and he'd say, Peter, we're not going to talk about how you denied me, but Peter, one thing I expect of you, feed my sheep. Peter, feed my lambs. Peter, we can go through all of this stuff. We're not looking at your imperfections. We're not looking at how you're missing me. We're not looking at how you denied me. Look me in the eyes. Ran away from me. All that stuff. That stuff is nothing. But Peter, one thing I desire and one thing I require of you is, Peter, look after my people. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. And he did it three times. He said, yes, God, I just love you as a friend. God said, do you love me unconditionally, agape? And he says, no, I love you just as a friend. He says, that's all right, Peter. I look past all your imperfections, but one thing I ask, one thing, feed my sheep. Will you stand with me tonight? And like I said, tonight is the commissioning service. You're going to get a little prayer card in your small groups that we're going to pray. Start to pray for people. That's all. We're not going to bash them with the Bible. We're not going to like try to put anything down their throats or anything. But one thing we're going to do is we're going to become laborers in the harvest field. Because the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. And God says, hey, pray to the Lord of the harvest to raise up laborers. I want you to close your eyes. Say, Lord, tonight I realize that the harvest is ready. The churchgoers are many, but the laborers are few. And here I am. Tonight, I lay down every excuse, every busyness of my life, every distraction, and I pray to the Lord of the harvest that you would raise up laborers in your harvest field. Raise us up and raise me up as a harvester, as a laborer. Lord, whether it's in packing chairs or whether it's serving somebody at my raise with a piece of bread, I thank you that you want to use me. And I commit my life to glorify you. So tonight, Lord, we repent that so many of us in the West, Lord, we actually say, Lord, that you are here to serve us, because we just come for us. We just come for me, the I and the myself. Tonight we pray, God, that Holy Spirit, you feel welcome in our midst. And we commit ourselves, Lord, to become obedient people. A group of people, Lord, that will, whether like Daniel said, whether you save us from the fire or whether not, we will serve you and we will worship you. A group of people like Joshua, Lord, that could take off their shoes and take off his shoes when you are standing with your sword raised high. Somebody like Abraham that could step out, Lord, not even knowing where he was going to, but he had a promise from God that in him all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Or a Paul, God, that would stand up, that stood at the close of Stephen the martyr, Lord, and later you would meet him in Damascus, where he says, I'm compelled by the love of God. I'm persuaded by the love of God to preach the gospel. Lord, and we don't want to be persuaded by circumstance or fear or by persecution, but we want to be persuaded by your love. And we pray again, Lord, that we'll come back to your first love, that place of becoming obedient to your call to go, to obey, to become fishers of men. And Lord, tonight we lay down every excuse and everything that may hinder us from doing that. And just say, Lord, let your kingdom come. And we sing that Our Father song, James. And then we're going to start to anoint people. If you're interested to go on missions in December, next week, Sunday, 5 o'clock, we've got a meeting here. But the mission starts tonight when you walk out those doors. We should put a massive placard there and say, welcome to your harvest field. But maybe you're here tonight and you don't know that Jesus. Didn't you know what? Those things will all become dead works if you're not in love with him. And so there are two groups of people here tonight. The one group that must be sent and the other group that must first come. You must just come to Jesus so that you can look into his eyes and you can know who he is. And you can experience him, his love. It's not a religious experience. It's a life. Because he is life. He gives life, but he is life. And he wants to break that hardness of your heart. This morning, as I was speaking there at Elswichter, this one woman came to me afterwards because there were lots of big men sitting there. And I just spoke the love of Christ over them, you know. And he said to me, do you know what? My life was a mess. But again, I've learned that there's a God, there's a Lord that's inviting me to his purpose, to his life. This is not about asking Jesus into your life. This is about saying, Jesus, I want to be included in what you're doing. Save me from the road that I'm going on. Too many times we pray and say, Jesus, come into my life. Give me something, Lord. Well, Jesus actually invites you to come. He says, come. I want to save you from where you're going. I want to save you from your destruction. I want to save you from the darkness that you're in. I want to save you from that confusion. But that's coming up to me so that I can give you. But first you have to come, so that you can surrender. So if that's you tonight, you first need to just come to Jesus. Before you go, I want you to come out quickly. If you're a bit shy, I want you to take somebody's hand and I want you to come straight to the front here. Because maybe there's just one person who must repent tonight and just turn and say, God, I want to be part of your life. Thank you for the invitation of that life. If that's you tonight, or maybe you're backslidden and you don't know him anymore. You've become so religious and so full of rituals and so full of rules. Then tonight, he's calling you to come. And you need to come. I want you to come and stand right here in front. We're going to wait for you for a minute. So just quickly come. If that's you, the Holy Spirit is convicting you. I want you to come out. If there's anybody like that, I want everybody's eyes to be closed. And I want you to pray right now because this is why we exist. It's for people to come to know God. And if your legs cannot carry you, take somebody's hand next to you and say, I need to be in front because tonight I want to be part of his story, of his life. I want to be part of what he's doing. I want you to come quickly. There's some people coming. I want you to step out. I want you to come and stand in front, because tonight He's going to give you a new life. His name is Jesus. But only when you come to say to Him, "Forgive me, Lord." He's not here to serve us tonight. We are here to die for Him, to live for Him. Amen. There's some more people coming. I want you to come out quickly. I want you to come if that's you tonight. Hallelujah, Father. We just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you draw people. Jesus, we just thank you for your freedom. I just sense there's still more some people here. You are in a massive battle, and we're going to just wait while every believer is praying. I want you to pray, because there's a war going on for some people's souls. Okay, this is not a spectator sport. This is not a little game we are playing. This is for the life of people. This is why we exist, is so that others can come to know Him. But the devil hates what's happening here tonight. He hates it, because he knows that when the moment when you step out of darkness into His marvelous light, you are transformed. There's no darkness in you anymore. Is there anybody else? I want you to step out quickly. I want you to come. Just come right to the front. You need to commit your life to Christ again. There's some people here, you've been there, you've done that, you've bought the t-shirt, but you need to come. I want you to come and stand right here in front. Stand right. All of you, just come and stand right here, because we're not into just trying something. We're into saying yes to Christ. We're into saying yes to His life over us. I want you to come quickly. Lady, are you also standing in front? I want you to come right to the front. Just stand here. What's your name? Oh, Frida. There's a cool name. Okay. Is there anybody else? I want you to come out quickly. If God is speaking to you, now is the time. I want you to come and stand on this side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you're breaking prison doors open. Thank you that the oppressed is going free tonight. Thank you, Lord, that we're not religious with you, but you're the God of the universe, and you're inviting us to your story, to your life tonight. And that's why we are here, Lord, because we're saying, yes, God. Don't exclude us, God. Don't, Lord, we don't just want to go through life trying Jesus. You are the Lord of all. And that's what we're saying tonight. We're saying yes to your life in us. Amen. Is there anybody else that needs to come? It's not 8 o'clock yet, so we have got lots of time to wait for some more people. Amen. So if you need to come, I want you to step out. There's somebody here going through lots of doubt. You're going through lots of doubt whether you are saved, and you are actually saved. But you know what? You need to just publicly confess tonight. Just make a statement tonight again to the spiritual realm that you belong to Jesus. I want you to come to the front as well. You actually know God, and you've experienced lots of stuff. You've got lots of testimonies, but you're going through so much doubt, just waves upon waves of doubt and confusion. And we want to pray with you as well. So why don't you just come to the front? We're going to just pray with these precious people, and I want all of us to pray together. Amen? We're going to pray from our hearts as if we come to God for the first time. Oh, don't ever forget that time when you came to Christ. I don't want anybody to walk around. There's some people leaving the place. The only people walking around are those people coming to the front, because this is a holy moment. This is a holy moment. You can go to the toilet many other times, but not this moment, okay? This is a holy moment because people are connecting with God. This is eternity happening. And so we reverence that moment. This is a very holy moment. So we're going to pray. And sir, stop running away from God, amen? He's got your name in His heart. And we're going to pray. I want you to just stretch out your hands like this. Just open it and say, Lord Jesus, everybody, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, tonight, I thank you that you invite me to become part of your kingdom and of your salvation plan for the human race. I step out of my life and invite you to come and take control of my heart, of my life, of my whole being. Jesus, I declare you now to be Lord of my life. I repent and turn away from following my own ways. And from this moment on, Jesus, I want to worship you and serve you with all of my life, all of my heart, with everything, Lord, because nothing else and no one else will ever be able to satisfy me but you and your presence. Forgive me my sins, Lord, and give me a new life. Tonight, I surrender everything. Tonight, I surrender everything. Tonight, I surrender everything to you, Jesus. Teach me, Lord, what it means to be a disciple. And show me, Lord, how to disciple others as I follow you. Make me a fisher of men. I thank you for your life and your call. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just give a shout to God in this place. Okay, what you need to do is you need to go and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Okay, that's the first couple of books in the Gospels in the New Testament. And then you just ask Jesus, so reveal yourself to me. Then you need to get baptized. The scripture says, repent and be baptized. That's what Jesus said. That's what the scripture that we read tonight. And if you don't have a family, your family is standing behind you. Amen. We're welcoming you into this massive family. Okay, so if you'll just give us 2 minutes, we're going to pray for you. We're not going to hit you with the Bible over the head or anything, but just tell you what God did in your life right now, okay? So we need to pray with you. We're going to pray over you. And so if you'll be so kind just to turn to the right, and there just follow evil as you're going to go up there. Okay, just wait a moment.
Just while we were praying now, I got a small scripture, Isaiah 35, verse 8 to like 10. And a highway will be there. It will be called the way of holiness. The unclean will not journey on it. It will be for those who walk in that way. Wicked fools will not go about on it. No lion will be there, nor will any ferocious beast get up on it. They will not be found there, but only the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord will return. They will enter Zion with singing. Everlasting joy will crown their heads. Gladness and joy will overtake them, and sorrow and singing will flee away. It's just a bit of confirmation for the people standing in front of you, I think. Yeah, thanks.
Cool. Thanks, Eugene. Okay, so if you guys just want to pray with you, then you can come back and worship with us. Okay, now the rest of us, those who maybe you're here tonight and you've never been commissioned. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we send Big Joe into this world. And we're going to anoint you because there's an authority that God releases over your life. Maybe you've never received that place. And you're almost like always trying to be a Christian. You're almost surviving all of your life. Then tonight that changes because Jesus came to all of his disciples and he looked them in the eyes and he says, in Luke chapter 10, he looked them in the eyes and he said, go, I send you. I send you. He sent them many times. And tonight we're going to just prophetically do the same. We're going to send you. Amen. So that tomorrow morning when you wake up or tonight when you get into that place, you're going to know I'm a sent one. It's an apostle. And so when you go to Kimberley or Chenin, then do you know what happens? You just start there. I spoke to Ko, you know, who was a district leader here. And there are 5 people in the small group. But that's church. Amen. In Chenin. Okay. So, and Yopi, they're just 3. Yopi and Jamie and their little daughter. But they've started church, you know. They've been commissioned. We send them to Kimberley. And we're going to Poch in 2 weeks' time because there's already about 30 or 40 students coming together every Sunday. You know, we didn't even announce a lot of stuff. We said, you know, and they just said, we're on a mission for God. Poch for Jesus. Amen. But there's some people that need to say Stellenbosch University for Jesus. Stellenbosch University for Jesus. We're going to have Christian weeks, not Muslim weeks like we had this week. We're going to have Christian weeks and just undeniably proclaim His worship in His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thanks for your excitement there. Cool. So as we're going to sing this, we want you to come to the front. If you've never been just prayed for, we're going to pray for an authority. We're going to pray for a boldness. I want everybody that's been on a mission trip this year, I want you to come out, stand in front, take some oil. You're going to pray for the other people, okay? And then they're going to pray for you. So everybody just line up. All the people, those more than 120 people that's been on a mission trip, I want you to line up, take oil, stand shoulder to shoulder on this side, shoulder on shoulder to this side. And then if you want to be prayed for, then this is your opportunity. Okay, so just come. If they don't come, then we go to them, amen, and we pray for them. Okay, so let's go.